Yeah, that was my rough experience. So I don't know if this was a pro. Maybe, you know what? In light of the rest of the show, here was an example of TMI. Here was an example of oversharing that we probably lost listeners. But like yourself, some were sitting on the edge of their seat going, what's going on? Oh, no, he's not talking about this. Oh, yes, he is. So if you're still here, consider this a huge oversharing, something that should not have been done, but I'm going to use it as an example. I hope you have enjoyed it.
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one dirty laundry comedic motivational show. Shut up, you. Otherwise known as Success Freaks, this is my second attempt at this, and I'm doing famously. Today's working title is episode 262, Social Media Laundromat. And today we're coming at you semi-live from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Phoenix, Arizona. And in Phoenix, it's Kirsten.
Yeah.
Otherwise known
I love
as Kirsten.
Every time you do that. It just feels like I should introduce myself like that to real people in real life.
I think you should at times. I think you should.
With a dramatic hand flourish.
That's right. That's right. Now, today's episode is actually brought to us by It's Kirsten. Because
it is my brain baby.
Yeah, it is.
You may help me raise it.
Right? Yeah. That sounds so... I don't know what. It sounds so something.
It sounds.
Now, why don't you tell people a little bit what you have wrought?
What I have what?
What you brought about?
Okay. So, as most people know, especially those of us who live in the States, hola to all of our foreign viewers. Hello, all of those wonderful greetings. We have an election coming up for president in the fall, and social media is a bit of a not always super pleasant place to be.
Cesspool.
Yeah, that.
Murky pond.
That as well. So I mean, and there's also so much bad news in the world of like bombings and police shootings and all this just horrible stuff worldwide, all this horrible stuff that's happening and everybody's sharing it on Facebook and then everybody's posting political things and all of these just constant, like you're just constantly being like assaulted by your social media. It's not just somewhere where personally or I can share cute videos of cats you know, move on with my day. So I had posted about, you know, like the beauty of the United States is that you can have any belief you want and you can talk about your belief and you can speak your mind, and especially on your own social media you can post wherever you want. But what I'm exhausted of are the posts where, you know, if you vote for this person, I hate you. We're not friends. You're a horrible sack of death, and you deserve all of the horrible things in the world. And it doesn't become just about voicing their opinion. Personally, I feel like it's just like attacking people for whatever reason, which again, they have the right to do. But I just get so like, I feel like these people who I've been friends with are kind of like not necessarily airing their dirty laundry in the way that everybody thinks it, like thinks of the phrase, but airing it in the way that they're really like showing a side of themselves that maybe most people didn't see. And it's just like, it's become so exhausting to see this side of people. And then also on the flip side of that is those same people who are now like being horrible and attacking like maybe my beliefs, for instance, since I'm talking about my Facebook. And then like 2 days later, they post some like, oh, look at this new car I just bought. And it's like, I cannot get away from the comparison of this person's like highlight reel of all these wonderful things that they take the time to post about on Facebook, but also this other side of them where they're just like barraging my social media with negativity. And I've been so overwhelmed, but I keep going back to Facebook because of the cat videos.
You really, are you really a cat video person?
Oh my God, real hard. I fell down the wormhole last night. It was glorious. It was so good.
Did you ever see that girl that she recorded herself talking about it and she just began to weep?
Yeah. It was a like quote unquote a dating video for like a dating website, but I think it came out shortly after that came out that it was staged.
It was, oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that is disappointing.
I know.
That is disappointing.
I was about to be like, girl, I'm not into the lady parts, but I would date you because that's a beautiful sentiment.
No. No. So when you first brought this to the table and you began talking about it, there's a couple different directions we could have gone. We could go in, and we're going to go in. Part of it is comparing your life. Part of it is oversharing and different things like that. But you're right. This has become, Facebook has become a podium, not of so much of sharing ideas, but proselytizing your ideas. Now, whether it's a religious bent, a political bent, or just, hey, these are my favorite cat videos, and if you don't like them, then you suck. And usually the people who put cat videos up, they're not like that. Maybe that's that's a good place to hang out. But I wonder if anybody is saying, when I thought about this while you were talking, I'm wondering if somebody's saying, listen, you need to proselytize. If you really believe this way, then you need to bring it even into Facebook. And there's so much anger in everything behind it. It's almost like we can no longer share ideas. And that's one of the things I've learned recently about. If you ever want to, if you hope for somebody to share your opinion when they don't, you can't throw it in their face. You can't go, you're wrong, because first of all, you're not allowing them to save face, so it's not going to work. They're going to get defensive, they're going to get their back up, and they're going to attack again. If you can present the idea and then let it go, if you can plant a seed, it's not up to you to change their mind. You can plant that seed. If you guys can agree to disagree and still be friends, then that's great. But if you're stuck with somebody who's just a beast about everything, especially on Facebook, there is such a thing that I've learned from Christy, is that you can unfollow them.
Yes, and it's glorious.
And they don't know that you've done it, but you no longer see them in your feed. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're spewing, either one way or the other, because there are two, especially politically, there's two opinions out there, and the spew happens from both ends. And don't get me wrong, I love me some politics. I do. I watched the RNC. Last night I started watching the DNC. I miss John Stewart. I've put out a couple things saying, John Stewart, help us, John Stewart, your only hope.
Divine.
Wonderful stuff. But I know that it's my opinion, and if I have something that I want to share on my personal page, I will drop it and let it go. And sometimes I'll have people like it or give their comment about it, and sometimes people will just be vile. Not very often. I'm lucky. But I don't push back. Yeah. It's like, nope, I'm just dropping this here for you to read.
Exactly.
And if you want to give me something like that, then that's great too.
And I wish that it was more of like, instead of just sharing your opinion, whether like how you can be as passionate and as controversial about it as you want, but then like the last sentence has to be, and screw you if you don't agree with me because you're a moron. Like, can we just leave that part out? Like, why does it always have to be such an aggressive attack? It is so exhausting.
Now, is this from good friends of yours?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah. I've had people who I deeply respect, people who I like a lot, and just their way of debate is not the best. It's no bueno.
Yeah.
And you don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know if they've dealt with a million morons on your side of the fence before, and suddenly you're the lucky winner who just happened to see that one post that was just so vile as well. But it's like, you don't have to do that. You're responsible for your own life experience. So unfollowing somebody, but I'm going to miss the nice things they say. I think you can also follow them back after the political season.
You can, and I think that's what a lot of people have turned to.
Right. Now, if you're that person who does things like that, and you're suddenly getting a lot of posts back at you with things that you disagree with, and they seem to be very angry, look at your post as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. So, well, I think this is a good place to close out this segment. So if you enjoy hearing about this kind of stuff, you can also hear us Thursday nights, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, WGNC AM 1450 and FM 100.7. Now, here's the catch. You got to be for the AM, you have to be in the Gastonia, North Carolina area, FM, the whole Charlotte area. So check us out there. I'm sure you're going to love to hear us on the radio as well. And what's really interesting is that we are sandwiched between two very conservative shows. So that makes for some interesting radio on your end. So check us out there, and we can brighten your day in your car as you're driving around.
You're welcome.
Hunger isn't a faraway problem. 1 in 7 Americans live with hunger. At Islamic Relief USA, we think it's up to the other 6 to share our food with our neighbors. This summer, Islamic Relief USA is packing up food and bringing it to communities in need. As always, it's for anyone of any faith or any background. It's just one of dozens of ways Islamic Relief USA is looking out for our neighbors. To learn more, visit irusa.org. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome back to Success Freaks 262, social media laundromat. Things are going round and round and round. Your unmentionables are being aired out. So Kirsten says she has something she wants to throw into the mix. Go ahead, Kirsten.
All right, so with social media, it's a very interesting time to be online. A lot of people are, I'm finding with my friends and with a lot of people that I talk to online, like with my YouTube channel, that self-esteem has plummeted because there's just so much out there of what you should compare yourself to. Not just supermodels and all that, but even on Instagram, just normal people are over-filtering and over-beautifying, and they like put out these unrealistic expectations, and then there's all these comments of, oh my god, you're so beautiful, and then everybody's comparing themselves. And it also turns to Facebook in that way for me especially. There's two quotes that I always think of when I think about comparison. I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, comparison is the thief of joy. And then I saw something a while ago that said, don't compare your behind the scenes to everybody else's highlight reel, which is exactly what Facebook is. Like, day in and day out, you go home, you deal with, if you're having relationship problems or you're having money problems or you're not getting enough hours at work or you're getting too many hours at work or whatever you're stressed about, that's not stuff you post on a day-to-day basis on Facebook. But then you go to Facebook and you see somebody got a new car and look at my new puppy and look at my engagement ring, and it's so easy to just wallow in the comparison of what you feel like you should have because of what social media is telling you. If you didn't have Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or Facebook or anything with these people, like, oh, look at me, I just went out to lunch with my 6 closest girlfriends and we had tacos and we did shots of tequila. Look how great my life is. We're sitting on the beach. I don't have that life. Do you know how long it takes me to get 6 friends together? That takes a very long time. I can't just do that on a spur of the moment lunch date. So comparison is so easy to do with social media because everybody's just posting the best things about their life. And it's kind of, it's sharing, and then there's oversharing. And you can tell which posts are the ones that are a little too much and overshared because they don't have as many likes or reactions. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm wondering too, because you're talking about the people showing the best stuff, but there's also a lion's share of this is, hi, my name is blank and here's how my life sucks.
That too.
And I've had people actually introduce themselves, not in social media, just say, hey, and I make the mistake. I've learned not to do this, and sometimes I forget, but I'm like, hey, how's it going? And a lot of times they're like, oh, that's a form of greeting. Hey, how are you doing? You know, that back and forth. But sometimes it's, hey, oh, I've had a really bad day, blah, 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 blah. And the back of my head, I'm like, this was not an invitation for that litany of the dreck you're going through. I'm sorry. I know you want somebody to commiserate with you. And I don't even know if you want them to let you know that everything's going to be all right. I think that a lot of people, you know, this is an unfair statement, and I used to think it a lot. I don't as much anymore. Women share through women bond through shared adversity. I don't necessarily believe that anymore because I'm noticing that it's just people. There are a lot of people out there. They bond through shared adversity. Hey, yeah. My day sucks, blah. Oh yeah, well my day sucks, blah. Oh, really cool. We can talk about that. Now, I mean, we had a very, very hot weekend here at the Bristol Renaissance Fair this past weekend, and a lot of us were just talking about how hot the day was, et cetera, et cetera. And it is an effort to go, yeah, but this good thing happened. Hey, but I had a good time, you know? And that's once in a while I'll ask people if they're just going on and on and on about how bad their life is. And sometimes they need to do that. I understand reeling from the punch when life sucks it to you. But sometimes I'll ask them, okay, good, what happened? What good happened today? A lot of times they can't get to that. They'll go on a different angle of the bad day. And I'm like, no, no, no.
I used to be that person. I was that person especially when I was in school and I was like going, I was taking 21 credit hours and working 45 hours a week, and my relationship at the time was crumbling. I was that person. And now I can look back on that and go, that was maybe not how to keep other relationships going very strong.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely that. If you want to take a look at your own Facebook feed, what you're typing out to people. See what's in there. Look and see if there's something that do you have this long Debbie Downer dirge of everything that's just going wrong in your life. If that's the case, you may want to brighten everybody's spirits. And maybe that's the reason, you're attracting other Debbie Downers to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. It's not easy. It's not easy showing a positive bent. You know, what people are very much of the mind, well, I don't want to, if I think that way and it doesn't happen, then I'll be let down. Well, yeah, but then you're spending most of your life ready for, you know, the crap hammer to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I want to be ready for it. So what if you're positive and you're brought down? You bring yourself higher after that. You learn mm-hmm. from the mistakes. It's one of the things I'm learning to say a lot now. It's just part of the adventure. It's part of us getting to the better whatever we're going to. And it's the way, hey, I'm sorry this didn't work out well. Like this morning, our podcast, getting it together, it took a little while. And just telling us it's part of the adventure. It's part of the, you know, we're learning to use a new thing called Zencastr, which so far has been wonderful. But because it's very different and there's no
curve.
Say again?
There's a learning curve.
There's a learning curve. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm learning to trust it. So, yeah, and instead of going, well, this is just sucking, and then bringing that attitude to this, you know, it's not gonna work. So when you're comparing your life with other people, don't look at everybody else's. Oh, look how great everybody else's life is, or don't be the person that's also this gonna go, let me just show you how wonderful everything is, and it's almost like a ha-ha, look at me thing. What I like to do is, here's the possibility. Here's what I'm able to do. I'll share some of my struggle about it, but here's the good things that are happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I'm challenged by them.
Yes, exactly. Like, share that, but what am I doing to try and make this a positive or learn from it?
Absolutely. And that's not easy. That's not easy.
No.
Oh, I'm so addicted to being able to go the gossip thing or just, you know, again, here's how my life's, oh, this was difficult today. Oh, yeah, buddy. You know, I have that problem too. But if you want to get around that, you're going to need to find, you know, if you want to attract other people into your life that are similar to you as well. And once you start doing this, you're going to notice everybody else's negativity, and it's going to start mm-hmm. turning you off. And you can plant a seed about it. You can say, hey, well, what good happened to your life? And when they try to do a different angle of the bad, you go, no, what was the good? And then, you know, just kind of let it go and walk away.
Yeah, I've actually learned a lot about, I think you learn this kind of when you start dating and you break up and you go, that's what I don't want in a relationship. And then you go to the next person that you date, and then you date, and you don't, the same things you don't look for, but then you realize when that one doesn't work, oh, okay, that's what I don't like. And I've learned the same thing about myself as far as positivity and little mannerisms. For instance, like just little pet peeves. Here's one that's not related. When somebody says something like 6 a.m. in the morning, that makes me crazy because it's redundant and I can't. Ooh, but that's not related. It's stuff like that. Like when somebody says things like, especially on Facebook, oh, well, I mean, I guess I could go out tonight, but I don't have any friends. Okay, I understand that you're trying to like get somebody to offer to go with you, but how about you just text everybody that you would normally go out with and go, hey, what are you doing tonight? Want to hang out? Instead of posting this sad thing and hope somebody comes to your rescue. That's something that I can't stand when I see it. So I never do that.
And remember, that is a way to get attention too. And you're teaching people something about yourself. You're teaching people, I am this way. I'm kind of mopey. And, you know, I would go out tonight, but I don't have any friends. Well, you know, I'm one less friend that wants to hang out with you, because that doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Right?
So, you know, and when you're looking at a relationship or anything that you're dealing with, well, here's what I don't like about this. I've learned I don't like this part. Here's the hard thing, and it's something that I'm learning with every aspect of my life. It's these things, these challenges, these difficulties that are coming your way are teaching you how to say what you do like. But I want to talk about that in the next segment, because now it's time to close down this segment. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 262, Social Media Laundromat. We are airing all our dirty laundry. Last segment, I was talking about when you're learning something from your challenges, you're learning something from a relationship, you can learn how, well, I don't like that. Well, that, I don't like that, and I don't want that, and I don't want that. Here's what these challenges are meant to do. They're meant to show you the contrast. They're meant to show you to discover what you do like, so you can concentrate on you want, because whatever you focus on, you're going to grow. I'm a big fan of the law of attraction. It's no secret. I'm a big fan of the law of attraction. I've been looking at some of the stuff from Abraham Hicks lately. But one of the things I'm learning about is, like, if you want something good to come into your life, you have to focus on it. So if my car breaks down, wow, I really don't want that to happen. I don't want my car to break down. That shouldn't be what you're thinking about. You're thinking about, wow, I want my car to run great. And that's the norm, and it just runs perfectly, and everything's fine. You know, or I want all my job interviews to go great, instead of, oh, I don't want to screw up at this audition. Different things like that. So what's your focus in your relationship? Well, I don't want her to talk to me like that. I don't want him to ignore me when we're out. Well, yes, great. Use that to get to what is it you do want, because that's what you're going to be focusing on. That's what you're going to be talking about.
So we talked about, I think last week we mentioned a little bit the five love languages, and that also goes hand in hand with thinking about what you want versus what you don't want. So you figure out your love language, and then you figure out how you want to be treated and talked to, and then you figure out how they want to be treated and talked to, and you give that to them. There's the golden rule, and then there's the platinum rule, which is, you know, instead of treat others the way you wish to be treated, treat others the way they wish to be treated.
Yes, I don't know if I can write that
down. But that's the thing with the relationship, and that's something that I've personally learned from how other people have treated me. I was like, nope, that's not how I want to be treated, because, like, for instance, I have blonde hair, and I really, really dislike when someone treats me as a moron because of the color of my hair. I'm actually very well educated, and I'm very intelligent, and I'm very, very witty and sassy, and I have no problem putting you in your place because of a stupid whatever. But I've learned to treat other people the way I think they want to be treated. I think other blondes, because of what I know, don't want to be treated like morons just because they're blonde. So I treat them as if they aren't. And then if they teach me otherwise, then we'll go down to single syllable words and a lot of hand gestures. We'll speak very slowly, but we'll get there after I treat them the way I think they want to be treated.
Yeah, something I learned way, way back in high school. It was really interesting phenomenon. There's all these airhead and people that you would think were kind of spacey, and some of them were the very attractive people. But you know what? They were the straight A people too. That was interesting. It was like, wow, these kind of space cadets, they're very smart. It's almost as if it's an air they're putting on. Hey, this is the way, this is my part of my personality, but don't mistake that for them being not brilliant.
Exactly.
You know, because they usually are. Okay, here's the thing. I'm not drinking. I have been not drinking for 12 and a half years now. Something that I learned, one of the things of somebody who's inebriated is that they will talk at you. And I've learned from, whether I'm talking to somebody in the bar or even, oddly enough, talking to somebody over the phone, I'm like, why am I really uncomfortable? Oh, wait, they're not speaking with me. We're not having a conversation. They're talking at me. And that's something that happens sometimes on the Facebook or on other social media. People are no longer talking to you. They are talking at you, and it's no longer a conversation. I'm listening to a lecture, and I feel like I'm being lectured, and that's a whole lot of suck. I don't necessarily want to be lectured here. We're friends here. Present me an idea. If I love it, I'll have a conversation with you. If
right.
I don't,
let's have a discussion.
Yeah, I'll either have a discussion or I'll ignore it because, you know, I don't talk about this. So,
for sure. And that's a valid thing to say. If somebody wants to engage you in something that you don't want to engage in because you know that it doesn't make your day more positive, and it's not something that's going to help either of you grow, and you're just not in the mood, it's okay to just walk away.
In the mood, da-da-da-da, in the mood, da-da-da-da. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where you just...
Quality entertainment. You are welcome.
Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where you just had to shut it down?
Yeah. Very, maybe twice. But I actively have said, I really just can't continue this conversation anymore. I'm feeling really uncomfortable now, and I just don't want to continue this conversation. Let's talk about something else. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes that works. It's worked for me, but I also don't ever really get into like super uncomfortable territory with any of my conversations unless it's somebody that I'm fairly close with that I would already feel comfortable having, like, saying that. You know what I mean? If it were like more of an acquaintance or a stranger, I don't know that I would be as apt to say, you know what, I'm really not comfortable in this conversation anymore. And I'm really, I'm honestly feeling so attacked right now. And I just don't want to have this conversation anymore. It's more, you know, it's easier when you have a better relationship.
I had a button that I wore on one of my vests, and I wore it so often that it became rusty and then went away. And I used it in conversation sometimes, and it says, hi, I don't care, thanks. And first of all, try and just throw it out to somebody when it just is a joke. You know, if somebody's saying right. something that you're like, don't want to hear, or they're kind of boring, just and make sure it's a good friend so you can try this out. Hi, yeah. I don't care, thanks. And there's always that kind of, you close your eyes for a second, thanks.
Yeah, that smirk.
You can use that as when somebody is giving you a thing that you want to talk about, you just throw that out and go, I don't care, thanks. And then, and you'll see them shut down. They'll be confused. They won't know how to do it. It's not nice. It's not nice, but it sure is a conversation changer. And then you can just say, I just want to change the conversation. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
And you probably don't remember, segue, side note. Years and years and years ago, you wore a tiny bear around your wrist, like a little stuffed animal bear.
What?
And yes, this was probably like 7 years ago. Ish.
And go on.
You had this bear, and it was maybe like, I'm trying to like do a diagram with my hands. I would say it was maybe like 4 inches long. It was a little tiny stuffed bear, and you had tied strings around it and tied it around your wrist. And I was walking around the festival that day, and I saw you, and I waved, and you kind of walked up to me, and you're like, I'd love to talk, but I barely have time. And you put this bear in my face, and you like sauntered off with your sassy walk. And I'm glad that you have moved on to the button that's a little bit more not that.
Somebody must have just given it to me, and I must have just worn it for a little bit, and then it went away, because I have no recollection, but that just sounds brilliant.
Does it, though?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm guessing this is the end of the segment because I don't know.
Because
we're done talking. I think we've run out of time here. Yeah, one of our sponsors is IRUSA, Islamic Relief USA. They do a disaster relief. They're an organization that helps. The Red Cross goes into areas where disasters have happened, and then they call IRUSA, and they put boots on the ground helping people out here in the United States and around the world. So definitely give them a chance. Check them out. And as well, just to give myself a shameless plug, I'm part of their podcast, the What a Relief podcast as well. So check it out.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So what exactly is the What a Relief podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Mordant Mott from the Success Freaks podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So how can you listen to the podcast? Download from IRUSA.org. You can also find it on Blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the What a Relief podcast today.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 262, Social Media Laundromat. And one of the phrases we are holding on to and just hasn't come up is oversharing is not a strength. In all of this and all the stuff that we're talking about, oversharing is not a strength. Hey, let me give you a little too much of the tiny nuances of my life. I'm a minimalist when it comes to stuff like that. You know, I'm always a big fan of, hey, let's record a video blog or let's do this. But then actually posting when I'm out, if I'm at an event, I kind of want to enjoy the event. I'd love to have that when the paparazzi follows us around or my friends and they're recording something wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do I want to break out my camera right now? My friends are going to think I'm kind of douchey because of that. You know, they don't necessarily want to be part of my mordant world and all that. So I don't share as much, but every once in a while I'll find something clever that somebody else has said or posted, and I will share that. forward. And that's, you know, that's a lot of fun doing that. But I think oversharing, sometimes TMI, you know, I'm not uncomfortable when a good friend is talking to me about something. However, I don't necessarily want to hear it on the Facebook at all. So.
Yeah, it's going back to like our little laundromat theme also. It's, you know, if you think about hanging your clothes to dry in a clothesline, if your clothesline is in your front yard and all your neighbors are going to see it, you're only going to hang up certain clothes out front, but you're going to hang your unmentionables from door handles in the house. I don't do that. I totally do that. So it's it's just so easy, really. But you pick what you're like sharing, and the people who overshare are those who just hang everything for everyone to see, regardless of if we kind of signed up for that. I was expecting to see sheets and towels, not that. And we all know exactly what that is.
Let's talk about, here's a pet peeve of mine. Let's talk, those of you who are still in the dating pool, when you're on a first date, remember, there are certain things that are not first date material. Things that I've had to say, this is not really first date material. Let's move on to something a little lighter. Because it
genocide.
Was something, whether it was something incestuous or abuse or something along those lines, I'm like, I just met you, or this is our first date. I may have known you for years, and this is not your best foot forward. Hey, you know, that you have a problem with serious drug abuse. Well, I should know that. I should know that before we go any further with anything. Right? but still, there's certain things that you, let's do this in degrees. Yes, I want to know you, but I would like to take it. I would like it to go a little slowly so we can savor the good stuff and really work through together the bad stuff. But if you're on a first date and, no, I want to be honest with them that I have, you know, I have issues with blah, blah, and blah. Then you have to ask yourself why. Why are you telling this person? Why are you trying to push this person away? Because that's what's happening. Or if somebody is throwing this at you, why are they trying to push you away? And another thing to remember, especially on a first date, chances are whatever they're saying, they're telling you the truth. I went out with a girl who said, she was just, I'm very mean. I tend to be very mean. It was our first date. And I was like, okay. I didn't ask her out again. I took her at her word. She was very mean. And she's going on to marry somebody, and hopefully they're having a great life, and she's worked through her meanness. Maybe she was being funny, but it's been my experience that kind of oversharing is usually a big kernel of truth. Ah, they're just saying that. Oh, they'll be different with me. You know, especially guys saying something to girl about, you know, the way they treat women. Listen to this, or they treat their mother. Yeah. Listen to this. It's importante.
Well, and even if she was joking, like, I'm just really mean. Ha ha, like, just kidding. There is a lot of truth behind a ha ha, just kidding.
Right.
Because they can use that to gauge, like, they can say it and then take it back with a just kidding if they see your reaction isn't what they were expecting. You know what I mean? I was going to go somewhere. Oh, and oversharing on that note real quick. Another thing that bothers me about oversharing is, okay, so I Snapchat a ton. I love Snapchat. I think it's fantastic. It's like daily vlogging, but you don't have to film, edit, and upload. It's just like right there live in the palm of your hand. I love Snapchat. However, if I have to watch another 12-minute Snapchat story of somebody at a concert because you can only upload in 10-second clips, which means for 12 minutes they recorded 10 seconds, uploaded, waited for that to share, recorded another 10 seconds, I do not need 12 minutes of your concert. 10 seconds of the band's most famous song? Sure, that tells me you're at a concert. What a great time. I feel like people who film and upload obscene amounts of concert footage, it's too much. It's so much sharing.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll do a little bit of something like that, and it's fine. It's cool. Hey, look, I was here. Hey, look, here's a picture of me here. Here's some video of a song I love. And a lot of times I'll record stuff so that I can look through it and go, okay, where's the best segment that I can use? And do I do that? No. I tend to not use it at all. But hey, I got it. Woo!
But there, it's the same thing with 4th of July fireworks. Everybody takes pictures and films them and Snapchats them. But like the video clips you take of 4th of July fireworks, do you ever watch them again? Ever? No. Never. There's certain things that are meant to be enjoyed in the moment, especially things like that that are recurring, that you're never going to watch again. Things like graduations and weddings, film that, but also try and like enjoy the moment while you're doing it, and then that's something that's really fun to watch back later on. But 17 minutes of 10-second clips of a band, you're never going to watch that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, enjoy that experience. And that's yes. definitely something there. And if you want to share something with you, it's being there. You can just say, hey, look, I'm about to watch this or whatever. Here's a picture. Here's a little video. And honestly, if your friends are watching, they can look anywhere for better video of that
yes.
band.
Yes.
They can see better video of that band anywhere. But if you're in it, for just a little bit, maybe you're singing along and you're doing that, or maybe the band's in the background and you're singing along and you're on the shot, that's great. But really, yeah. We don't want to see the lip sync of the whole damn song either. Let's give me a few seconds of that and let's move on.
Right. Oversharing. You have to know when to edit yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And that's in real life too.
What's the level of social media? What's your level up on this one?
I think just being cognizant of what it is you like to see in the world as far as positivity or on your social media, what it is that makes you joyful, create that in your own actions. So live your life the way that you like to see others, like the things that make you happy, the things that you experience, the things that you see other people experiencing, things that make you happy. Live your life with that joy and don't tack on to someone's negativity or live your life that way as well.
What if they have really strong political views that they want to share?
I am all for sharing them. That's the freedom. We've got amendments about this. You can talk about that. I just ask, and this is, again, a personal preference, which you do not have to take into account, but maybe just be cognizant of it, because maybe nobody's ever told you that it's harsh. When you share a political opinion, be passionate, be expressive, share articles. That's great, but don't end it with violent bashing of the other side or people who may disagree with you. That, to me, negates everything you just said. If you've shared some sort of great article, I don't want to go read it because you already called me a jerk. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I'm going to talk to you. Those people who are on the receiving end, remember, you're responsible for your own life experience. You're responsible for your own happiness. You can change the channel. You can unfollow somebody.
Unfollow.
You can remove them from whatever social media you have them on. So that, and if you're worried about hurting your feelings, or you're worried about hurting their feelings, realize, especially if their conversation is of a violent nature, and I don't mean they're talking stabby, 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 but they're just violently voicing their opinion.
But also evaluate that if you have friends talking about stabbing, that should be evaluated.
Yeah, that's definitely a warning flag. If you're worried about hurting their feelings, realize they're not necessarily worried about hurting yours.
Yeah.
They want to get this out to you. They're talking at you. If it's fortunate enough that it's because of a drunken stupor and they're not just this way, then hey, you can talk to them about that issue. But if it's not, if this is just the way they are, take them at face value. Do you want that in your life? You can write them off.
Yeah.
And you don't have to write them off as a friend unless they're doing this in person, and it's also an awful experience. You get to walk away. You get to go, you know what? I don't want my day to be like this anymore. You're a good friend of mine, but this is where you are. Talk to me when we're done with political season, or talk to me when you're not such a douche, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff
when
like that.
Phase stops.
Yeah, pretty much. So there you go. That's our social media laundromat chat. We're going to be right back in just a little while with on Beyond Success Freaks. I hope you are enjoying our ramblings. And it's been fun. It's been fun for me. How about you?
Very fun. Very much enjoyed this topic.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely fun. Definitely fun. All right.
Okay, Rain Man. Take us out.
We'll be right back. Woohoo!
Welcome back to On Beyond Success Freaks. It's Kirsten. That's more than he's going to say yo.
Yo.
And we're going to chitter chat about some stuff that's going on in our lives. I am going to start because I feel like my car needs to be talked about. And I have an SUV and it just hit 120,000 miles, so nothing's under warranty. And I went to go get my oil changed and there were some services that were recommended, and one of them was flushing all the transmission fluids. And I feel like I'm driving a brand new car. Mama's got a brand new bag. It feels so good. I've never had a maintenance service work so well on my vehicle, and it's just bringing me so much joy to be driving a vehicle that's working really well. It just feels so good.
Really?
It does.
So your thing is that you basically keep upkeep with your car, make sure that everything is still working. Go ahead and take care of business when you're it's a big pain in the butt, but you can still. Yeah. And that's what I think. A lot of your success, a lot of everything else, lies on the other side of a pain in the tuchus. You know, you may have to do things. Oh, I have a story. This is not necessarily an upkeep story. This is more of a oh my god, this happened to me, and it's horrendous story.
There's no structure in On Beyond.
So I'm here at the Bristol Renaissance Fair. I'm on site. I'm in a trailer in the pad, which is all these other trailers that we have out here in the parking lot area. I'm renting this trailer from friends of ours, so it's not ours. We have our sewage is hooked up. We have an external sewage storage tank, and so the way this works is that you use your gray water and your black water. Gray water is of course stuff from the shower and the sink. Black water is stuff from the toilet, and you let those fill up, and you can tell it's filled up usually by the time the gray water will fill up first. So when you're in the shower and suddenly it starts not going down the sink but it's holding water, then you know, okay, well, my gray water tank's full. Chances are my black water tank's getting full. It's time to empty. And what you do is you go outside, and then you open up the black water, let it go all the way up, and then you close it, and you open up the gray water, and that rinses it out. So the first time I did this with the help of a friend, everything went well. Everything was fine. It was like, what a great idea. I don't have to worry about getting somebody out here to pump. I don't have to take showers standing in cold water, cold, you know, dirty shower water. This is great. I'm glad I've done this.
So I'm on the edge of my seat with anticipation. I am so excited to see where this story goes.
I'm going
to
take care of this all by my lonesome, because I'm here all by my lonesome. Surely nothing will go wrong here. Look, everything looks connected. Everything is connected. I've got, in fact, the one problem area is where the hose goes into the storage unit. I've got bricks and stuff on top of that, so that's fine. I'll stand over here by the, you know, where everything goes out of the trailer. So I open up the black water storage, you know, storage compartment, and it starts to go glug, 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 and I step back to admire my work. And as I step back, the hose separates and falls down, and black water is gushing onto the ground. Not a trickle, not like a little hose, but a big is that 5 inches? 5-inch diameter
like
hose.
A fire hydrant. That's
fire hydrant hose of stuff is going on to the ground. So I've had experiences like this before. So I'm not frozen in fear, staring in disbelief. Mentally, yes. But physically, I act. And I go in there. And I shut that off. And I look. And then, you know, cursing happens out loud. And it's already a hot and steamy day. So the sweat begins to come down for me because of something's happened. I can't wipe my face because, you know, pink eye and gross. So what I have to do, first of all, is I have to I open up the gray water a little bit so that it will rinse it out off that a little bit. And then I take off the connector, and then I have to piece it together, and then I put it back on. I've got stuff all over my hands. I'm looking down. There's little, you know, nuggets of...
No.
And
no.
A flu worm, but we'll go on. So and so I connect it. And I hold it to it. Hold it. And I open up the rest of the black water because this has to be done. Fortunately, I have, because I connected it pretty well, it's threatening to let loose, but it's not letting loose because I'm holding it there. And when it's done, it's run its course. What I have to do next is, because it's kind of not really completely downhill, I have to pull up the hose so it empties into the storage tank. And I'm worried it's going to open up on the other end. You know, the end of it, just open it up. But I got it all in there. I got it all empty. All good. Then I do the same thing with the gray water. All good. I'm sweating. I have to keep wiping my face with my shirt. You know. Eventually, and I come into the house, opening up things with my pinkies, and I wash my hands vigorously. I vigorously wash my hands. And so that was my experience. I had that experience, and I'm like, okay, I'll kind of rinse it. I'll rinse it around. I'll undo the hose from the trailer. That's how the water's going in. So I'll undo that water hose and spray it, but it's kind of stuck. Anybody who's ever attached a trailer, sometimes those hose connectors are a pain to work with. My hands are slippery. I've washed them already, but my hands are slippery from sweat and everything like that. So I have to undo the other end, and I take kind of a bucket, and I kind of throw it onto the area. And it's not because it's not a spray like the hose would have been. It's just kind of adding water to the mix. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna go and leave it here.
I'm gonna go ahead and be done at this moment.
At this point. A few days later, it rained. Thankfully, well, I knew also it was a hot day, so I knew everything would dry. And, you know, yeah. If you've ever gone to a dog park, that's how it works. You have the icky, stinky stuff, and eventually it dries, and it's fertilizer. Yeah, that was my rough experience. So I don't know if this was a pro. Maybe, you know what? In light of the rest of the show, here was an example of TMI. Here was an example of oversharing that we probably lost listeners. But like yourself, some were sitting on the edge of their seat going, what's going on? Oh, no, he's not talking about this. Oh, yes, he is. So if you're still here, consider this a huge oversharing, something that should not have been done, but I'm going to use it as an example. I hope you have enjoyed it.
I think there is a level of oversharing versus telling a story for comedic value.
Right, right.
You know, when I tell a story of when I was in a car accident in 2008, I don't tell, like, I never posted on Facebook this whole long story, but whenever anybody asks about my accident in 2008, I had this really grand story about this guy in a Chevy Astro van who had black hair down to his butt because he was in a band, man, and they just bought the van for the band, and oh my gosh, what are we gonna do now? It's for the band. And I have this great long story. It's way oversharing, but there's a comedic value to it.
How long is it?
Well, it's about the end of it. That's about most of it.
Oh.
But I was stopped and he slammed into me. And then it wasn't even registered to him. It was registered to his mom. And the guy was like 29 years old and lived in his parents' basement. But he bought this Chevy Astro van for the band, man. Wow. But it was very convenient because there were two police officers across the street at the Circle K who just walked across the street. They were like, hey, heard you got in an accident. I was like, yes, thank you. Let's go ahead and call a tow truck.
Wow. Yeah, you know, that's sometimes that too much sharing. Well, here's a good thing that happened with that situation. I learned, just like when and Charles and I have talked about when we were first doing Success Freaks and learning to deal with problems with bandwidth and things like that, or your system just shutting down. You go through those times so that
the adventure.
When they happen, it's not a big you get comfortable. It thickens your skin. That problems do that. They thicken your skin so you get used to it. So that if you're ever in a crisis situation, you're like, oh, I've done this before. I can remain calm while I'm trying to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer in fight or flight. So I because I've had traumatic experiences, well, traumatic, quote unquote, experiences happened before when the poop was hitting the fan or the ground as it was, I moved. I wasn't frozen.
And I acted.
I acted. And if it had been my first dance at that rodeo, I wouldn't have acted. I would have been like, no! Ooh, do I want to touch it? I don't know. Yes, there is no doubt. You want to touch it. Drop your phone in the toilet. I don't care what you've done. If you value your phone or done anything like that, when stuff happens like this, instead of freaking out and cursing to the world, I'm going to just tell myself, hey, you know what? Everything's going to be fine. I've worked this problem out before. It's all gravy, baby. And just keep moving forward. You know why? Because for some reason, I had the present of mind to go, you know what? I'm going to record with another thing as well. I'm going to record with Reaper as well. So if I've lost everything, I also have that.
A backup.
So that's why these things are working. And that's why, you know, sometimes that's why you have these challenges in your life, just so that when something's really on the line, all those little things that you thought were a big deal back then and really weren't, they helped you to get to this point where you're able to go, oh, everything's actually kind of fine. So that's it. That's me.
like I told you, my replacement phone is coming from my disastrous fall down a creek when I was hiking up north. My bruises are really beautiful, but I'm not wearing my foot brace anymore, my boot, so that's nice. My replacement phone is coming today, and the last time I had done a backup of my old phone was June 13th, and I fell in the creek 8 days ago.
Yeah.
So about a month of stuff I lost, and I thought I had lost more than I did. Some stuff did sink to the cloud, not all of it did. But that just goes to show a backup really alleviates a lot of stress. And if you are someone who's worried about losing stuff on your phone, do a backup more frequently.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come past our time. It is time for me to stop these shenanigans and move on. Kirsten, do you have anything else?
Negatory.
All right. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of Success Freaks. I hope we were able to find this episode of Success Freaks. If so, fabulous. This has been R. Mordant Mon.
And it's Kirsten.
Ciao, Success Freaks. Boom, baby.